each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Winds of Change. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on this Lenten Friday. This is a remote broadcast. I'm coming to you from Fatima, Portugal, where we're going to have a very interesting guest with me today to discuss the work of our apostolate. Of course, I am the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, the Blue Army, and many beautiful things going on here in Fatima, so we want to bring that to you today. But it's noon in Chicago, and it's 6 p.m. here in Fatima, so why don't we start with the Angelus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord.
Be done to me according to thy word.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh.
And dwelt among us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God.
That we are worthy of the promises of Christ.
Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, welcome to the Winds of Change. Very happy to be guest hosting today for Father Anthony. And again, it's this Lenten Friday, and this is the beautiful season of renewal of Lent, where we all try to become better people, what we're supposed to be doing every day, I guess, but, you know, maybe a little extra effort in this time. Again, as I said, this show is coming to you remotely from Fatima, Portugal, and we are here, of course, I am the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, and this is our hotel retreat center, Domus Pachus, where we're broadcasting from, right across the street. We look out the window here, looking at the beautiful Basilica of Fatima, a very special place where Our Lady appeared 107 years ago. So I have a very special guest with me today, and I want to introduce to you Father Jeffrey Couture. Father Jeffrey is a priest of the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut. He is a great friend to the apostolate, a tremendous help at our shrine in New Jersey, the Blue Army Shrine in Washington, New Jersey, and Father is a regular, I would say, helper, if you want to call him that. He comes all the time. He's on the big days particularly, and he's here in Fatima on a three-month assignment, if you will, to work at the shrine. He's working at the shrine, of course, you know, hearing confessions, offering masses, and representing our apostolate here in such a big way. And if anybody is interested in having your intentions, if you're here, you want your intentions remembered here at the Fatima Shrine, well, Father Jeff is here, please send those to our website, to bluearmy.com. You can send it to my email directly, dcarollo@bluearmy.com, if you wish. And we will pass those on with your intentions. You can send, and you'll be remembered in the masses and devotions here. So, Father Jeff, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on today. And again, you know, just maybe a little background about yourself. And again, I want to thank especially your bishop, who's also a dear friend, Bishop Frank Caggiano, who's the Bishop of Bridgeport, Connecticut, and a regular at the Blue Army Shrine. He is one of, we refer to our regulars as perennials. So every year he comes, he does one of our big events, and just a dear friend. And when Father Jeff was coming, he said, you're welcome, please go and do it, help as much as they need. So we do appreciate his blessing on that. So Father Jeff, maybe tell a little bit about yourself and your journey, what brought you to us, to the Blue Army, to the World Apostle of Fatima, and then of course on to your assignment here.
Well, I'm, as you said, I'm from the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut. And I grew up, born in 1971, grew up, I'm a triplet actually, three boys and an older sister, but grew up a typical Catholic and a very family very devoted to Our Lady, and grew up in Catholic school praying the rosary every week, so it was very an integral part of our grow up. But like any other kids, I kind of strayed away, and then I had an experience, really everybody has some type of experience. I had a death experience, and just really got me back into the church. And then I worked in the restaurant business, worked for companies like the Marriott restaurant. I worked for Waffle House. I worked for Starbucks, actually, was a general manager for them. And then just found my way in 2010, got ordained a priest of the Diocese of Bridgeport. Hold many jobs between chaplain of a high school, chaplain of the Western Connecticut State University, was administrator and pastor of three different parishes, and so held many different jobs as a priest. And then the opportunity came up part-time just helping the shrine, and you know, when that opportunity came up to help the shrine in New Jersey, when I asked our bishop to help out, usually when you ask the bishop something, he says, well, I'll think about it, I'll pray over it. He didn't even hesitate, and before we could get off the phone, said, you know, go. He was so a supporter of the Blue Army and the shrine that he didn't even think twice of it. And so, and then from there, obviously, stemmed this opportunity. And again, he was very supportive and I think slightly jealous, I'm not sure.
We could bring him out if he wants to. He's always welcome.
But
yes.
Just a phenomenal opportunity as a Catholic, let alone a priest, to be here in Fatima.
You know, as a public association of the faithful, we're an international public association of the faithful. And of course, now you've been here, you've met the people we have in our secretariat, which we just did a podcast with them today, actually. And been working with you people for 20 years. I was on the international board of this apostolate from 2008 till 2022. So yes, 14 years I served on that board. And I'm still very active working with these people. I'm actually the representative of the Apostle for North America. So I do also work with Canada and other areas where we're trying to promote the message worldwide. You know, our founders, you know, founded an apostolate to bring the message of Our Lady of Fatima to the world. And our co-founder, John Hafford, always said, we want to bring the Fatima message to the people and bring the people to Fatima. And that's why this house, Domus Pacis, was built in 1954. And it's been operating ever since as a hotel retreat center owned by the Blue Army USA. And operated, and of course, as we became an international apostolate, it is the international center for our work, and we're just very, you know, very pleased. It's always good being here. I come here for business reasons, and it's always great though because it's a home away from home for me too. You know, and I think Father Jeff, you're finding that obviously in your time being here, but I touch on that because it's the international flavor of our apostolate. I mean, a day doesn't go by where I don't communicate with someone in the Philippines or in Africa or, you know, different countries in the world, European countries. And it is just, you know, it is edifying Because in this world that is hurting so badly right now, as we know, I mean, just turn on the news, or maybe better, yeah, don't turn on the news, you know, and you see what's going on. But, you know, with all the evil that's out there, you say, wherever there is evil, grace abounds even more, I think is the way it's put. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how we have to look at it, because we have a message that was given, and the message we have been given is to live the Catholic Christian message that we were given 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's what the Fatima message is all about. And I think when you're at the shrine in New Jersey, the people that come, and with the stories, and of course, you know, you hear confessions and those kinds of things there and here, and I don't get that intimate with it because I'm a layman, but I have to believe that there are so many forms of conversion that we see there and you see here. Yeah.
So, many.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I imagine on a daily basis, you know, especially in our chaplain. Of course, we have the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, Father Luke Fletcher and Brother Pius Gagne. God bless them. They have been our chaplains at the shrine now for 2 years. And I just think, you know, the people that line up for confession, and Father Jeff, when you help out on those days there, you do, I'm sure there's so many, many good stories that come through and heartwarming things when people walk out cured, if you will. You know, you feel that when you're.
It's humbling witness when you're witnessing God work in someone so dramatically, and sometimes it's while you're in confession, you see it and you hear it, and it's just hard to put it into words, but it's there's no doubt that God touch them in the soul, and it's just a humble witness as a priest to see that. And we get to witness that. And in the shrine, there's a lot of times when I'm hearing confessions here in Fatima and hearing confessions at the shrine, there's no difference. Okay. There's a difference between regular parishes and the shrines. But when I'm at the Shrine of Our Lady, it doesn't matter if you're in the U.S. or here, there's a uniqueness. So I would separate the shrines from regular parish life, right? It's just like anywhere else.
I would have to believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people that go to shrines, they're going. It's not like it does. Confessions are different, obviously, where you go, right? I mean, our Lord is no less present anywhere in the sacrament. However, I think the intention of the people who go to shrines and go, whether it's local or here, they're seeking something unique, right? And so you get to witness that as a priest. You get that uniqueness. And so when I'm in the confessional in Jersey, in here, there was a moment here that I felt like I was still in Jersey. It's hard to explain, but I'm like, wow, this is the same. There was a connection I felt, and I cannot put words into it. I remember it dawned on me one day, and this was recently, a few weeks ago, I was like, wow, this is kind of what I'm experiencing in Jersey. That Our Lady is as present there and here. So
yeah, yeah. And I think obviously, and that's a good point. She's as present there and here, because God is all over, right? I mean, Our Lady is all over. She brings. This is a very special place because of the nature of the miraculous events that happen here. But the miracles happen, and the miracles happen even at our shrine and all over. And when I say miracles, I'm not saying things are going to be posted and broadcast to the world, right? But the internal miracles that you know that we see all the time being there on a daily basis. I mean, you know, what do we have at the shrine out there every day? We have rosary and confessions at 11:30, followed by the holy sacrifice of the mass at noon, and then we have adoration from then until 3:00. Well, that's beautiful. I mean, that is what it's all about.
Dave, I would go one step further even. Mm-hmm. I would even go as far as to say, me as a priest, I've only experienced the presence of Our Lady a few times, and, you know, not any apparition, but, you know, when you feel Our Lady, and many Catholics have devotion to Our Lady, there's that pinnacle part in your life you can remember in your hand, maybe, how many times you felt Our Lady's presence.
Yeah.
And the two major times was in New Jersey the first time I was going to the shrine and here.
There you go. Hold that thought. We're going to talk more about it. And when we come back, we have to take a break now. But when we come back, I want you to expound on it, Father. The feeling here and there and here, the similarities and how you feel, you know, as a priest with these outreach. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You can help save a life by praying for an end to abortion in your community. Find a 40 Days for Life vigil nearby. Visit 40daysforlife.com, 40daysforlife.com, to help save a life.
I'm David Carollo, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
This Lent, let's you and I work on taming our tongues. Chapter 3 of James tells us that the tongue is a tiny part of the body, yet is a whole wicked world in itself. James says that nobody can tame the tongue. It is a pest that will not keep still, full of deadly poison. We use it to bless our Lord and Father, but we also use it to curse men who are made in God's image. Well, true, none of us can tame our tongue on our own. But we can count on the power of the Holy Spirit to come to our aid in this very good intention if we but ask for His help and make a sincere effort to always think and speak well of each other and to build each other up. Let's live love. God will help us. I'm Jim Littleton, FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And my guest today is Father Jeffrey Couture, who a priest of the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut, a regular contributor to the Blue Army Shrine in New Jersey. And as for those who are just tuning in, this is a special remote broadcast. We are broadcasting today from the Shrine of Fatima, Portugal, where we are doing this at our hotel retreat center, Domus Pachis. Always very special to be here. Father Jeffrey is he's been here actually on, I would say, an assignment. He's been helping us out here at the Shrine and, you know, well, helping us here in the apostolate and at the Shrine. And I think it's been a good, you know, you pointed out some of the things, you know, that have happened and how special it's been for you. And I just, yeah, maybe expound on it a little bit more as we were talking before the break. What you do for us at the Shrine, what you do for us here, the efficacy of confession, which I think is really the foundation of these shrines, because I think people come with a desire to cleanse. And, you know, we see it all the time in New Jersey, and when people will ask, you know, you ever have any miracles there? I say, oh yeah, every day, every day, about around 12:20 when the priest consecrates the host, and there's a miracle there, but the reality is there's a lot of internal miracles. You're seeing a lot of that while you're here, too.
Yeah, everybody who comes in here has some kind of epiphany, or, you know, they're searching for answers. And they're searching, most people are searching it here because they can't find it anywhere else. And so there's a constant, like, out of all the things you hear, it's always some type of healing. Like, they're looking for something that the world can't give them. That's what I would say is primarily. And it, in a given day, it's literally every day when you're in the confessional. Not even the confessional, just walking over. I can't tell how many times I'll be walking over to the shrine and somebody would stop me and say, Father, you know, we're here. They're just asking you simple questions about Fatima and what your thoughts are. And I remember I had one woman just come up to me crying and kissed my hand out of gratitude for the shrine. And a lot of these people don't speak their native language. They don't speak mine. It's not words. It's the appreciation they have. And the amount of people that leave the confessional crying.
Yeah.
Not mine. Well, yes, mine, but...
I mean,
just sitting there and I'll see someone leave another priest's confession, but it's a moving experience.
It is. Yeah. I've seen that. I've seen that here. And I've seen it at our shrine in New Jersey so many times.
Oh, yeah.
people come out and it just, they're so renewed. As priests, you have a different perspective, obviously, and you know what's being said in there. We don't, but I don't have to know what was said in a confession to know that someone was very positively, affected. Or maybe some cases negatively so because they didn't hear what they wanted to hear. I don't know, but
I've never seen that here or in the shrine.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Seen that.
That's great.
Because I think most people coming, you'll get that in a parish because it's different, right? They live there.
Yeah.
This is most people who go to these shrines. They're going for something, and again, they're searching for an answer that they couldn't get in the world.
Yeah.
So there's an openness that you won't get anywhere else.
Yeah. I think when you look at our website and all of our products we put out there, and you see the photos and the videos of people on our event days, okay, when we may have 4,000 or 5,000 people there, depending on what the event is, who the celebrant is, that type of thing, and there's see the smiles on their faces, okay, mm-hmm. There's a sense of Our Lady being there, a sense of feeling God, and it's something that I've seen in I'm going into my 13th season there, and I tell you every event there's something that stands out, because there are people that they're seeing, and I imagine, of course, in the times you've been there, have you experienced the same thing at our events in New Jersey?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's extraordinary things that happen in confessions that I always said to Father Luke. There were a couple incidences that don't happen in normal parishes. I mean, you hear about these things, but in shrines, certain spiritual miracles, things that you can see God moving, mm-hmm. and you're witnessing miracles, manifestations of God's grace in front of you. And I said to Father Luke one day, this happened, he goes, yeah, that happens a lot here.
All the time, right?
Going from, it's just different when you're coming from a parish life, and you come into a shrine life, and he goes, yeah, it's just, and now that I'm at a shrine for 3 months now, you're witnessing this every day. It's like,
Well, people are seeking God. Okay, that's in our human nature to seek God, right? And so, I've experienced that with people, not even at the shrine, certainly, but also, in my work being places. I had I related this story a number of times to people, but I was in the Czech Republic one time, and I was staying, my first time I was there, and I stayed at a hotel in Prague the night before I went off to where the speaking was in the event. And I wanted to go to the Church of the Infant Jesus of Prague. I'd never known about it all my life. I'd never been there. So I asked the woman, the lady at the counter, or at the desk, where is the church from here? And she got the biggest smile on her face. And she said to me, she goes, I grew up here. She was maybe 40 years old, I would imagine. She said, I grew up here and I never knew of it because the churches were all closed, during the communist years. And she said, when she got that, that job, one day somebody asked her about that church, where it was, and she looked it up, and she said it became like her favorite place to be. She goes almost on a daily basis, and she said, I go in there and I feel like a whole new person. People are seeking God, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, that's something inside of her who wasn't raised as a Catholic, but she knew there was something special.
But it's also what you don't feel. What I mean is, you feel peace at both shrines, but you don't feel the anxiety of the world. It's like cross that line, and I'm not saying that. I mean, I truly mean that. I remember when I first went to the Bellarmine Shrine, I was with my brother. We were driving down the road. As soon as I get on the road, my brother and I, we can feel it. Do you feel that? Like, if you could feel the grace of Our Lady, and you just felt a peacefulness, and it's the same. It's the same you get here. It's what you don't feel. You don't feel the anxieties of the world. It's like there's a protection on it. And it's a real thing. It's, some people say, is that true? Until you go to the shrine in Jersey or come here, once you feel it, you know what we're talking about.
Right, absolutely.
It's very unique.
Yeah. And I do a little salesmanship here, but we'd love for everybody to come out and see the shrine in New Jersey. We're located in Warren County in western New Jersey near the Pennsylvania border, and it's a beautiful area. It's 150 acres of pastoral, beautiful land with so many beautiful things going on. Our chapels, our grounds are beautiful, especially once you get into the spring, summer season. And, you know, and again, our list of events we have, the whole year is really filled with great venues. The 13th of May through October, we have our literally bishops for most, if not all, of the events, and of course, some great speakers. And this is where we're at. I mean, we're celebrating the 6 apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima. We do that every year at the shrine on those dates. And every day there's Mass. Every day there's holy hours. Every day there are confessions. These are the special days. Then we have our ethnic events, which add to it. But I, you know, BlueArmy.com has all the information, and we hope you take a trip out to see it.
But you need people to understand who haven't gone to the shrine. Understand, it's not simply the Glory Shrine in Jersey. It's not simply honoring Our Lady. Because it was co-founded by Lucia, there's in the Constitution, there are certain graces attached to it.
Well, that's correct.
That are unique to it. So it's not simply putting the name, attaching it to Fatima that we honor Our Lady. There are certain promises that were made to Our Lady that are also equate to Jersey because it's equated to the message. And one of the most fundamental things is what we described earlier, it's peace. The angel of peace came to the children first, and it led the way to the graces for Our Lady. And it's the same graces and promises to Our Lady that are here in Fatima that actually you know are at the shrine. So it's literally a transformative piece. The property is like you're walking in Fatima.
Well, it's very true. And I mean, there are some special things. For example, our apostolate was co-founded by Mr. Hafford, who sat down with Sister Lucia and worked out the Blue Army Pledge, which we believe 20 million people have signed worldwide in these 77 years since the founding of the apostolate. And that's pretty unique when you think about it. This was given to us by the seer, okay, by the last surviving seer of Fatima, who worked with the founder. And I always remember his one statement he made, that when he asked her, what is it that Our Lady wants the most? I assume it's a recitation of the rosary. And she said, no, she wants us to become holy. And that's really the essence of requests were. So folks, sign the pledge. It's on there, the Blue Army Pledge. Go to BlueArmy.com. It's right there. Join the organization. And I don't say join, and send a check. We accept it because we do live off donations, there's no doubt. But what I'm saying is, look at it. Join the apostolate. Become a prayer warrior. The World Apostle of Fatima is our name as we go today in the church. But we are still Our Lady's Blue Army, and we are an army on its knees. That's what it's all about.
So, and what I think people got to understand is, when you're a part of something like that, there are benefits that you get of grace. So the moment you sign up, it's not just you're supporting us, you're benefiting by grace. There are promises that you are part of from Fatima by pledging. And you and your family, because everything about Fatima talks about every devotion. When you look at all the prayers, when you look at the reality of the grace, when you pray something, it says you and your family.
It's
not just you.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's your family. Well, so there's special graces attached to that devotion.
We pray for our families. We're in a very special period here now. We're going to be coming in next year into the centennial anniversary of the apparitions to Sister Lucia, which gave us the first Saturday's devotion.
Yeah.
Huge. Okay. And believe me, I firmly believe that when enough people have fulfilled the requirements of the first Saturday's devotion, you will see the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. You will see all of the stuff that's out here start flittering away. Keep in mind, there have been more martyrs for the church, thanks to the isms like communism, Nazism, all these other things. There have been more people martyred for the faith in the last 100 years than in the previous 1900 years of Christianity combined. Okay, and the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the faith. And I really believe that we are on the threshold of an explosion of grace. And this will bring it forward. The triumph will come, I firmly believe.
when enough people have fulfilled this. Anyway, we have to take another break, Father. And when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about some of the things that we discussed about that, maybe political issues that are out there, how people are bringing them to us, and also a couple of things said by some sisters we know. This is David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on the Winds of Change. And just always a plug for St. Stanislaus Kostka, the beautiful parish, the sanctuary of divine mercy. It's the parish that could that caused an expressway to move, if you recall that whole story. About there was a beautiful sign that Father Anthony had up on there that said, you know, if you know, when they built the Kennedy Expressway, they brought it, they looped around St. Stan's and the rectory over there, because like he says, if this parish can move an expressway, it can move you. So I think you need to make a beautiful visit there. Mm-hmm. Perpetual adoration, just beautiful devotions here. One of the many churches in Chicago, but I've always been very partial to St. Stan Kostka, and long friendship with Father Anthony, and just very honored years back when he asked me to guest host occasionally for him, and that's been about 10 years I've been doing this, and it's been wonderful. So anyway, welcome back to the show. And again, this is David Carollo coming to you on this show. We're coming remotely from Fatima, Portugal, and I have with me Father Jeff Couture, who is a very dear friend of the apostolate, who is helping us out here in Fatima, a priest of the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut, a regular at the Blue Army Shrine in New Jersey, and then he's here now helping us here in Portugal for these months, in these winter months. And Father, as we discussed earlier, and one other thing too, while Father's here, don't forget to send your intentions, because he's praying for all of our intentions here. And join in, please send them to our website at BlueArmy.com. There's a link on there, or just get an email service, whatever. Send what you want, and believe me, they will be remembered. Your names, your intentions will be left at the feet of Our Lady over here. So, Father, when we were talking earlier about, you know, some of the things that people have come to you about, some of these intentions, for example, even there was a political issue that came, as you mentioned earlier, that I'd like you to explain that a little bit, if you could, which I thought was very, very special.
Well, there's a friend of mine put in a special request that works in sort of the healthcare industry, and asked a request that they were going into D.C., and they were really running into a very significant issue that they feel that what they're pushing in a very pro-life aspect would not go through. And so they submitted a request to Our Lady. And so the way the request here works is I receive the requests to the Blue Army and these requests. And then the Mass is said here, they're offered at all the Masses I say. At the Capitolina every Monday, I say I'm live. You can see it on the Fatima website, actually. I do 3:30 Fatima time, usually 10:30 East Coast time, but now with the clocks, I think it's going to be...
It's all messed up.
Yeah,
it's all changing this weekend.
You do the math. I'm not doing the math right now, but you do the math.
Right now, we're 6 hours different from Chicago, 5 hours different from New Jersey, and then this weekend, it's going to all change when the clock, but they don't change it in Europe at the same time.
So whatever it is. But so this Monday, for instance, and all what I do is I mention the Blue Army intentions and the Fatima intentions, and what it is on the altar, there'll be all the intentions, and then I read them prior to Mass, so they're offered in my intentions at Mass, and then they're dropped under the statue of Our Lady, where the apparition is. There's a slot, and it goes in, actually, your petitions get placed in that slot. I also do a double copy in all those intentions on Saturdays during the procession. I also do the same thing. They're offered in that rosary for your intentions. So going, so this, one of the intentions that was brought recently was brought to Our Lady, and I asked the person how it went, and they said they felt the presence of Our Lady, because it all went the way they asked for in the intention, and they felt Our Lady's presence. That's just one of many, many witnesses.
You know, it's an interesting thing. The pro-life movement has been taking a hit again in this last year or two. And I think it's the reality of what we become as a people. Okay, so, okay, for years, oh, Roe versus Wade, so we want to, I'd like to see that overturned, because that's wrong, that was forced on us. Okay, and yeah, I didn't say forced on us, but yes, we voted for the politicians who appointed the judges who did that, okay? So let's not totally blame, you know, others. But on the same token, so here comes Roe versus Wade. Now it's overturned, but it'd be 2 years ago now almost, and now you're seeing this whole plethora of legislation being supported by the electorate, which is very anti-life throughout the country. Now, some places, just the opposite, and there have been some great protections. But my point is, you know, there's the question, are we a pro-life country? Okay. I mean, do we really, and I don't, not just pro-life, but are we a people that are going to follow the laws of God and the rules that were laid out and given to us in those tablets, okay? You know, those ten commandments that Moses brought down the mount. Are we going to follow them? And on that line, I heard a good homily just recently, and the priest said, and that was actually Father Luke at our shrine. He said, you know, there's like one commandment, the first one. I am the Lord your God. You will not have strange gods before me. Every other commandment is an offshoot of that.
I need to comment. You brought up something, and I noticed, being here for a few months, what I've noticed is people that might have been pro-choice that converted to pro-life.
Yeah.
There is a connection with Our Lady of Fatima. If I've noticed, and I can't significantly give you exacts, but I know this just by talking to people. If someone is pro-choice and they have a devotion to Our Lady of Fatima, from my experience, I can only go from my experience, it's the Fatima message that made him pro-life. I've heard so many times people say, you know, Father, I used to be pro-choice, but now that I'm praying to Our Lady, I'm now pro-life. I've heard this so many times here and at the shrine, and I don't think it's a coincidence. They've come to the realization through the message of Fatima what it really is about. And so when you bring that up, you can't separate the two,
no.
Really.
No, you can't. No, you're right. There is, and it's, you know, I mean, what should we pray for? We should pray to come into the heart and the mind of Our Lady. Course is the heart and the mind of our Lord. And when you achieve that, when that gift is given to you, you think and then act accordingly, yeah. Right? And that's really what it is. I mean, we're, you know, we're in this just incredible election year, which is it's you know, it's, you know, and I'm not here to talk politics. You don't have to. Mm-hmm. Look what's out there, okay? So I say to people, you know, you have to vote your conscience. But you have to develop your conscience to vote for the right people in the right way, okay? You know, because no matter what, it's easy in any form of representative government. You know, people say, oh, well, I don't think this election was kosher. I don't think this. Look, folks, in any form of representative government, there is a culpability on our part,
right.
Okay?
But you know, Dave, the average Catholic needs to understand, including people that are watching now, the message of Fatima gives you a avenue in which to make that change.
Yeah.
It's through reparation.
Reparation.
Most, and that's one of the fundamental parts of the message of Fatima is, and these are kids, the seers of Fatima, believed in what Our Lady told them. And she told them that if you want to change the hearts of people, you offer reparation. And I would tell a lot of viewers, even those that are watching, if you want to change the heart of somebody, including your politician, you offer reparation for them.
That's correct.
That is the key to Fatima. That and there's no limit to it. Our Lady taught the kids that every evil will be overturned by reparation. And I think that's the key. And we have to remember, this came from a 7-year-old girl, an 8-year-old boy, a 10-year-old. I mean, this came from children
right.
who were not highly educated, yet they understood this. And it's key. That's really key to
Well, they understood it in their hearts.
Yeah.
And that's what matters, okay? I mean, look, I mean, messages like Fatima, Lord, Guadalupe, they can be given right to the Pope. That's what God wants, right? Okay. No, you have to go, you go through the humble, because people have to humble themselves to accept it from people who they don't have the same value in society.
Now, just think of the little case of Jacinta when her brother was scheduled to return home and you know, they, you know, people were like, you know, he needs to be home safe. She goes, I'll just offer reparation for it.
Yeah, there you go.
And she did it.
She did it.
And it worked. And she's like, no, we'll just pray her enough and it'll work.
Yeah.
I mean, just that simple faith that she can bring,
right.
And this is World One. I mean, just, she didn't look at, you know, the armies and, you know, she looked all this, she said, no, the faith will prevail.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
The faith will prevail. And they knew that in their innocent little hearts that the faith would prevail. And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, that they're not, you know, well, are you willing to offer your lives in prayer and reparation for the conversion of sinners? And so they'll avoid the fate after they saw the vision of hell, you know, to avoid this fate. And what do they say? Sure. Yeah, we'll do it. Okay. I mean, it wasn't like, well, let me go home and talk to my mommy about it. No, I'll do it, okay? What did Our Lady say when the angel, you know, presented the Annunciation to her? Be it done unto me according to your word. This is the kind of heart that God wants, okay? And the simple people, like the Fatima children, like St. Bernadette, you know, at Lourdes, like St. Faustina with the Divine Mercy, St. Juan Diego, I mean, these were people that have no value in the eyes of the world.
Well, I mean, if you look at, just looking at the last just the last modern apparitions. If you look at Fatima, you look at Lourdes, you look at La Salette, you look at Medjugorje, you look at Garabandal. In every case, except for Medjugorje, I think one of the kids was 20. They were all kids. And they were all in very simplistic lives. They were shepherds, they were farmers.
And, so and as far as those apparitions like Medjugorje, Garabandal, they're not really approved by the church, but they're not, you know, the church will eventually give their judgment on it. That's the way it works, okay, you know, when they see, but you're right, but there is a common denominator in all these apparitions that we pretty much know, that there is a, you know, there are, these are simple people.
The first two apparitions of Medjugorje were approved. Well, now they're trying to go for the whole case. But
well, you know, that,
in all cases, yes. The point
is, it's way above my pay grade to see it.
But what we're saying, the point is,
yeah.
In every case, she's appearing to
you. Very simple people. Because that's, Juan Diego wasn't a child, but he was just a very simple man. Okay, you know.
So, you know, I asked, I have my nephew, who's, I would say, very simple heart like them, very good, holy kid. And praise the rosary a lot. And I asked him when he came to visit me a couple weeks ago, I said, what's your first impression of Fatima? That's all I asked him. He said, it's very peaceful.
Yeah.
I can feel the presence of Our Lady. It's very peaceful and holy.
It's peaceful.
I mean, just hearing that from him, he didn't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
I said, what's your first impression? That's what it is.
And you know, I would say that there's where, you know, where God is, there is peace, you know, there's love and serenity, okay? Where God is not, there's hatred and chaos,
so that,
right?
You know, we were talking about this earlier, so when I'm asked a lot, you know, Father, what's the number one thing people seek when they come to the shrine, whether it's Jersey or here? It's serenity.
Right.
It's peace.
Yeah. No, you're very right. I mean, that is really, again, where God is, there will be serenity, okay? You know, and where he is not, I mean, what is heaven, what is hell? Well, you know, so hell is a place. Okay, we know all the doctrines and all of that. What makes it a bad place? Well, the people there and the demons, whoever. I mean, who's there makes it bad, not necessarily the place. I mean, again, there's probably more to the theology of it, but I think in heaven, I think, you know, obviously it's the presence of God that makes it such a serene and beautiful place, you know. So, you know, that's but that's easy. And I mean, and that's why societies that live in accord with the laws, with the gospels, you know, they have more serenity. Yeah, they have difficulties, because anything on earth is going to have difficulties. But it is what it is.
Well, when you see, you know, I always think growing up, anytime you saw somebody praying the rosary every day, most of the time there is a unique serenity to them. Not always, but right. If you pray the rosary long enough with great faith, there's a difference. I mean, I just think as a kid growing up and seeing the old lady in the corner always praying the rosary,
right.
There's a uniqueness in that person.
She has a peace that maybe you want.
Yes.
And I'll tell you a story when we come back. We have to take it on a break here. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a story of peace and serenity, which has always stayed with me. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, live, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button. For Winds of Change podcasts, click on Listen to Episodes or visit the Winds of Change Facebook page.
I'm David Carollo, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
You can help save a life by praying for an end to abortion in your community. Find a 40 Days for Life vigil nearby. Visit 40daysforlife.com, 40daysforlife.com, to help save a life.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony. And my guest is Father Jeff Couture, a priest of the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut. We're here together here in Fatima, Portugal. This is a remote broadcast, and so happy to be here, Father. We've discussed your work with our apostolate. And in this last segment, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the conversations we had, for example, with these sisters, okay, about what is the importance of the message, you know.
One of the blessings that I found here was I got to know some of the religious communities and the sisters, and just asking them what their feeling is, and what, because they live here, some of them for many, many, many decades, and being here, living at Fatima, part of the message and what's important. And so coming from that, I think one of them is sanctity at Mass. A lot of the religious communities mention how the urge of Fatima to bring sanctity, and we got to remember when the Angel of Peace appeared, the kids' first prayers were to offer reparation for the unsanctity that was brought. So the message of sanctity, of sanctity, the way we dress, the way we approach the altar, the reverence is key. The second one is something that's just, we have to remember, one of the sisters mentioned, is not to forget that Our Lady of the Immaculate Heart, that Fatima was, Our Lady appeared to the kids to fight communism, and to remember how important it was, what was going on at the time, and that also the sisters are saying, and it's still a message that we have to fight communism in different formats.
Now it's humanism, secularism. It's the same. It's the atheism. It's taking, yes, God out of the equation. That was the communist revolution, whatever, you know, Russia and other places.
And that was when the sisters mentioned that, it surprises me as an American that is a real thing, because we even experience, many say that we experience this in America now, this global secularization that's happening. Yeah. I mean, we have priests, pro-life priests that are in jail.
Yeah.
We have people, you know, they're supposed to be, you know, in the United States, there's that new laws being passed, anything against, that threatens democracy, right? Yeah. The freedom of...
A little broad, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, look at what's happening in Canada. They postponed the bill for euthanasia because they want to add mental illness to it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, yeah. That's no, for me, that's no different than what Hitler approached or Stalin approached.
Yeah, that's
so,
the whole point, yeah.
But hearing this from nuns that are, that live their whole lives here, and hearing that, that they're concerned that that's not being talked about enough.
Right.
And that's it's, to me, that's actually sobering as a priest to hear the religious communities say, you're not talking about, you remember it's against communism and secularization. It's against the insanctity, the irreverence at mass, so those things.
Yeah, well, when they said, we say that we won the Cold War, it's a small W, okay? We may have gotten the communists out of control in Russia, but, you know, Russia had spread her errors, okay, after all these years. So, you know, look at what's happening in our country. Look what's happening here in Western Europe. I mean, you know, and even I hate to say this in parts like Poland, because Poland was the stalwart for everything. My wife is from there, okay? So we've been many trips back there, and you know, and now there's a new government there that's they're taking religious symbols out of the schools again. Mm-hmm. Now this is stuff they didn't accomplish during the height of the communist years, okay? When the fighters like John Paul II were in there, Bishop, you know, Cardinal Wojtyła at the time was fighting, and then of course as Pope, he really brought it to a higher level. But I mean, they fought and kept their churches open and kept their faith there, but, and now they're acquiescing to it.
But it's almost like, though, a lot of people are being duped. They think, well, it's Russia. Well, it's not just Russia. Russia, to me, Russia's not the problem we have to worry about, is the one we don't see. It's the secularization, communism that we don't see that's going on in our own countries.
Well, they say let's pray for the conversion of Russia. Let's pray for the conversion of America and of Europe, because allowed this to happen.
So that's actually one of the religions we talked about. When Our Lady said pray for the conversion of Russia, it wasn't just a country, it was the idea.
It was the idea, exactly.
It was the idea is what the religious were saying.
Because our apostle was founded as a blue army of prayer to counter the red army of atheistic communism.
Yeah, yeah.
Atheistic, that's what it was all about.
So it's
okay?
The spirit,
you know,
of that.
It was the, it was God out of the equation. This started back, I mean, you know, the popes of the late, you know, Pope Leo saw this coming, you know, in the late 1900s, and wrote encyclicals about labor, because they were making a lot of inroads, you know, in with workers, especially during the beginning of the Industrial Revolution and that, you know. Pope Pius X, I mean, his encyclical on modernism tells you almost everything that needed to be said. And it was Pope Benedict XV, who was Pope during the time of the Fatima apparitions, who called for, because he saw what was happening in Europe, he referred to World War I as the suicide of Christian Europe, and he called for a novena, worldwide novena, and on the eighth day of that novena, what happened? She appeared across the street here at Fatima, the lady did. So you know what? Yeah. We can pray. We can change things, okay? That rosary is powerful. She is the most powerful intercessor
well,
there
Lucia
is.
I just was reading one of the meditations. Lucia said, there is nothing, she said, there is nothing impossible for the rosary. If the rosary accomplishes all things and all challenges, is conquered by the rosary.
There you go. Yeah, that's what Lucia said.
It's,
right.
It's so, yeah. I mean, you know, when in doubt, pray it out.
Well, you know, Pope John Paul II was, it was an interview back in 1980. It was even before, I think he ever even read the Secret of Fatima, the third part of the Secret of Fatima. Mm-hmm. He was only 2 years into pontificate, and they asked him about it. And he said, there was reasons why his predecessors didn't publish it in 1960 and beyond, as they were, you know, thought they would. But he said, you know, well, what if there was a prediction that this terrible thing would happen, or that terrible, that the world would be flooded out, and billions of people would die, and all of that. If you think there's nothing you can do, then there's no reason other than curiosity to really right. know. Then he pulled out his rosary, he said, hand everything over to the Mother of God. Nothing is etched in stone, it can be changed.
And you know, another thing is, you know, a lot of people get caught up in, well, was the secret actually, you know, was Mary's desire for Russia and all this being fulfilled. You know, I tell people, what does it matter? What we have to deal with is what we're dealing with now.
That's right.
And we have to pray.
Are you willing to offer your lives in prayer and reparation for
now.
The conversion of sinners? That was asked in 1917 and it's being asked today. Okay. Are you willing? You say yes. When enough people say yes, then, you know, all of a sudden.
I said, I wasn't in the room. I don't know what she, and I don't know what John Paul II actually said, but what I do know is it doesn't change what I have to do.
Well, exactly. And when people say, well, the Pope needed to do this, or the Pope should have done that, well, you know what? That's way above our pay grade. I say, okay, you know, what am I supposed to do? You know, I've been asked to live in accord with the Gospels as per the Fatima message, and what else is there? I'm to do it as a layman, you're to do it as a priest, and that's it. I mean, you know,
when the kids' lives were threatened, and they were being scared to death to share it, and they didn't, and what did they do? They said, we're going to pray in reparation.
Pray reparation, yeah.
That's how they answered it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they just said, okay, we're just going to pray.
Yeah, well, so it's a little side story. Some years back, I was invited to, I got to know the former mayor here, and I met him at his office. He invited me to the office, and we had lunch, and there were some initiatives going on here, and he wanted my input on it. And he took me downstairs, and he said, there is the prison. That was the old building they had, old municipal building. They've since built a new one. And he said, there's the prison where those children were held on August 13th, you know, of 1917, where it's like a chapel, because that's where they prayed with the prisoners, you know. It was like they witnessed these young kids in, you know, in this, basically this drunk tank with these undesirables, and they're praying and trying to convert them. That tells you what they were made of. So yeah, I just think it's, but again, it's the Fatima message is nothing more than a reiteration of the Gospels,
right?
We're asked to, you know, what was asked here at Fatima, maybe a few specifics, but generally what was asked here that we are not asked to do when we're baptized, when we're confirmed, and when we're taught our faith, our catechism, you know, when we were taught as children. I mean,
I've witnessed so many pilgrims. I've met dozens and dozens of pilgrims all over the world here. And one common thing is when they ask, what should I do? What should I do? It always comes down to one thing, pray more and offer reparation. And anytime someone says, you know, Father, I don't know if I can do that. Well, I'm sorry, a 7-year-old girl could do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You could do it.
Yeah.
I had this guy literally in his late 50s and said, Father, that's a lot to ask. And big Irish guy, and I said, oh yeah? A 7-year-old girl could do it.
Right,
you could do it. And then he looked at me like, yeah, you're right.
That little girl died in a hospital in Lisbon, okay? And Lisbon, which is a 1-hour drive from here now, was a day's journey at that point. This young girl, because her parents had families, they couldn't just leave.
Yeah, yeah.
She died alone in a hospital in Lisbon. Can you imagine to be that age? And she offered the entire thing up. And there was a time it said Our Lady appeared to her in a hospital and asked her, Jacinta, do you want to come to heaven now? Or would you want to stay a little longer and save more souls? And what did she say? I'll stay.
And you know what? Yeah. Last thing I just got to say is what gets, as a priest, what really impresses me, like I'm just walking from the Capitolina Mass the other day after doing Mass, going to confessions, and I see a woman in her 90s, on her knees.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, my knees hurt. And then even somebody was walking to me and says, you know, I wish I could do that, but my knees hurt. And the person's in their 50s. And then we look over and there's a 9-year-old woman. And you can't really.
There's always someone to show you up, isn't it?
Pilgrims from all ages, all walks of life.
Yeah.
All areas of the country, and people coming from Japan, I mean, people from all over the world coming for one thing, to know the message of Fatima more, and to be holy.
Yeah, right. No, exactly it. That's what it's all about. Well, time goes fast, Father. Thank you for joining me today on the show. It's been great. Father Jeff Couture. For more information on the Fatima message, come to our website, bluearmy.com, and take a trip to New Jersey, or come here to Fatima. Join us on pilgrimage, the many pilgrimages we have to this house and to this shrine. Thank you, and God bless you.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred.